Welcome to Truman's Matrix. A podcast built around the craziest headlines around the world. A production of Digging Deeper Media, owned by Hale Multimedia. Where you don't know who's watching who, or who's controlling you.
All right, we're getting ready to get kicked off of all the different channels once again. It's time for Truman's Matrix, and we discovered that Truman's Matrix is a name they don't like.
No, just the name itself gets us kicked off of things.
I had the hardest time. It was the first podcast that I put up on our new network, and it was the last one to get approved. It was hard to even get anything, and they also denied any monetization on it because they said it's just too controversial. And that's after I went to the safe channels, because we're not talking about YouTube or Facebook or any of those. No, I'm talking about the obscure ones that you're supposed to be able to have free speech on. Mm. But anyway, that's why Truman's Matrix is so much fun.
Yep.
And that is, we're telling the truth here. And what we've done is we figured out the Truman Show is everybody's watching you. And the Matrix is, you know, is it real or is it not? So it's the AI world that we have in front of us now. So what is really going on with Truman's Matrix? So each week we try to dig into something far out. And tonight, Andy's got something far out for us. Who are we going to look into? Oh, look at who it is. Mr. Musk himself.
Yeah, so with Truman's Matrix, a lot of times we use a lot of the Twitter content and see what people are talking about and go from there. So I found this tweet from Elon Musk, and he said, most Americans are still unaware that the census counts all people, including illegal immigrants, for deciding how many House seats each state gets. This results in Democratic states getting roughly 20 more House seats, which is another strong incentive for them not to deport illegals. Mm-hmm.
This is common sense stuff, and it sounds conspiratorial, but it's just things that people have been thinking for a long time that somebody finally has the nerve to speak out loud. Mm-hmm. That's why we exist. We should have called it Elon's Matrix, but anyway.
Right?
We've always followed what he's said, and he makes total sense.
Right.
Usually those people who have come in as immigrants are some of the smartest people. Think of Elon Musk, not American citizen, right? How about Tom McDonald? He's not an American citizen. He may be now, but he's born in Canada.
Right.
These people who come in from the outside and take a look at our political system and our system in this country can clearly see it doesn't make any sense. Hey, where's Vivek from? Is he a U.S.? Yeah, he must have been a citizen because he was running for president.
Right. He's first generation.
Okay.
I think his parents were from India.
There you go.
So.
But these, you know, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good to have immigrants, but they have to do it through the legal system.
Which his parents did. Mm-hmm. So, HR T48 says illegals will be voting in our November presidential election. Why does he say that? Well, let's listen to what Vivek Ramaswamy says. It's no coincidence that the same people who favor open border policies are also the ones who also oppose voter ID requirements. Let's think about why. Let's watch Vivek.
It's pretty remarkable, Laura, is in principle, election integrity, voter ID at the ballot box, and the issue of illegal immigration or border security are two separate issues. But what is remarkable is that the very people who favor porous borders or poor border security are also the ones who favor lowered requirements for voting. So these issues, I think, are intimately linked.
Do you think illegals are going to be voting in this next election?
I think inevitably there's going to be a lot of seepage, and I think that it's also a long-run play. And if you look at what the Democrats were saying, this is now considered a conspiracy theory of sorts on the right. It's a conspiracy reality because Democrats have been saying it for 10 years, This was their way of actually securing long-run, lasting electoral majorities.
Yeah, I mean, no one voted for this, but they don't care. And they're supposedly the great defenders of democracy. No one wants this open border. Nobody wants these endless wars. No one I know wants these endless wars. I mean, the Washington contingent, the foreign policy crowd might. But most people don't want these policies, and they literally do not care.
A nation without borders is not a nation. And I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent. Most people in this country agree on that. It's up to us now, though, to step up and actually make that our vision rather than just complaining about what the other side is doing. And I think if we do that, we win.
Today, the House.
All right. Then Jack Danger tweeted shocking new information. He says, I have some very interesting information. You'll want to hear this. This whole time, I thought the Democrats were going to cause a 9/11 type event. To cancel elections or possibly start a civil war for the same purpose. I thought they might assassinate Trump or steal the election with another virus. He continues, we now have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen. We saw it in California and Vermont this past Tuesday. He's got two graphics here showing Vermont primary results saying 89% reporting, and it showed Nikki Haley at 49% and Donald Trump at 46%. And then at 79% reporting, Nikki Haley was at 49% and Donald Trump was at 46%. So let me read his specifics here. On Super Tuesday, the Democrats did a dry run for the new vote tabulation algorithm. This algorithm allows a certain percentage of precincts to report before it begins to work. It needs to see how many votes it might need to change to not look like a totally implausible and ridiculous win. Below are the photos, well, above for us, but of the 89% of voting precincts reporting in the Republican primary in Vermont at 10:13 p.m. Trump was closing in on Haley with her lead at only 2.5 points. Then 4 minutes later, at 10:17 p.m., it changes to 76% reporting, with her now having a much bigger lead at 3.7 points and eventual win. It was the only one that she won on Super Tuesday. Quote unquote won. How, you ask, can her lead go up at 76% reporting when at 89% it was a lot less of a lead? Why did the reporting precincts go down and her lead go up? If you go to the X page and scroll down, you see the video of Steve Garvey beating Adam Schiff in the California Senate. I have it below. Then in real time, you can see thousands of votes leave Garvey and go to Schiff.
This is fun.
These were dry runs meant not to call too much attention, which is why they were done in a small state primary and a Senate primary in California.
Mm-hmm.
We now believe, as a very good hypothesis, that the Democrats are importing illegals because they plan on stealing the election with such an algorithm. And if it starts an uprising, 10 million military age males with no allegiance to America and contempt for Americans will be all too happy to help squash it for citizenship.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's about 50 million of us veterans that are going to fight back. So you take that.
You can believe this or not, but one thing I can guarantee you is that something big will happen. It will have to do with the election, and it will cost thousands, if not millions, of Americans their lives. This is the algorithm he was talking about, and it's just a quick little thing. Let's watch it. It just shows a quick little Steve Garvey moving down and Adam Schiff moving up. Okay. Elections are an additive process, and that should be easily understood. Votes are gathered, increasing over time, never shed. Every candidate's vote totals should go nowhere but up. Maybe remain static if it's a small election somewhere rural, but never, ever should the tally decrease. This is why people are questioning this, right? So let's go back in history a little bit.
I was going to say we should watch that on election night because we went to bed with the American dream and we woke up in nightmare.
That's right. We sure did. We sure did. So this is official results after people dug into the 2020 election, right? Let's go ahead and we're going to watch this next video.
We did the same kind of look at in Georgia. And what we found was very interesting because we found over 200,000 mail-in ballots that when we looked at the voter record had supposedly never been returned. And yet they were voted. Now, about half of those ultimately got purged, but about 96,000 of those were never marked returned, and yet they were voted. And we have seen that in other areas of the country because it's very easy in the Dominion system to assign a person to a mail-in ballot inside the system itself.
May I just interrupt with one question? To assign it that way would, of course, be fraudulent, wouldn't it?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have no idea. You just have a ballot in the adjudication file, for instance, and you decide to vote it, and you assign it to a voter.
How many times, approximately, did you
vote? Well, there were about 96,000 of those that we found. 96,600 was the exact number of mail-in ballots that were voted but were never actually shown as received back by the county.
Well, I think, is there anything else you would like to point out? I think that's pretty complete.
I think that's pretty much got it.
So there's 96,600 votes that were counted, never received, and assigned somewhere, and these would have to be considered illegal votes, wouldn't they?
Right. And by the way, I would say this was not just mere oversight by one or two counties, because we saw this pretty much across the board. And so this was an across the board problem. And we also saw a couple other interesting things. We noticed that sometimes the ballot was actually shown as being voted before it was received back. There was a receive back date, but it was voted before the county received it back.
How could that be possible?
Well, you'll have to explain that one to me too, because it's not supposed to be that way.
Okay.
We also
mail-in ballots counted without being observed. Those are the ballots we were talking about that were not observed in Allegheny County and in Philadelphia.
Correct.
Is that right? 682,770. Now, this is the part that is a mystery. Mailed ballots sent out, 1,823,148. But when you go to the count of the final count of the vote, there are 2,589,242 mail-in ballots. What happened? How do you account for the 700,000 mail-in ballots that appeared from nowhere?
So our cyber team uses white hat hacking techniques. They gather a lot of publicly available information, and that information was from the Secretary of State's website. That website has been updated as late as 11:16 this morning with provisional and mail-in ballots. So those numbers are still changing. They changed last night, so it's a continual target.
This is 22 days after the election.
That number, the 2.5 million number is no longer on the website.
Just been taken off?
It's not there anymore.
Is there any explanation for why it's been taken off?
There is no annotations.
2020 election, about the drop boxes that Maricopa County said that they had over 923,000 ballots that were dropped off of the drop boxes. However, documentation can only account for 189,167 ballots, which means that there's a deficit of 733,000 ballots. That's right, Over 733,000 ballots are unaccounted for. So what have we learned? We learned that the big lie is that this was a secure election. I'm sorry, it was not a safe and secure election. We have so many problems with our process that need to be followed through, and laws need to be adhered to and complied with. All of this evidence has been turned over to the Attorney General. Oh, and by the way, every Democrat voted no in committee. 2020 election, about
the period of time you were there doing it, which you estimated was about 10 days.
Yes.
Would you say that about 100,000 false documents were created?
Yeah, from September 22nd till, I would say, till September 30th. Yeah, about 10 days. I mean, I was there till October 2nd.
And you estimated, when we went over this, about 10,000 a day.
Yeah, anywhere between 10,000 to 15,000. Yeah, sometimes we will be able to complete, I even remember, 14,000 packages. Sometimes it's 12,000. So you can just, to be on the safe side, you can say 10,000 per day. That's a good number.
How many co-workers did you have when you were backdating the documents?
You mean at the election headquarters?
Yes, at the original place that you worked.
Okay. Around September 15th or so, they started the second shift. Until then, it was only from 9 to 4, one shift. Then they started another shift from 5 to 11. So two shifts. So I would say if you add all of them, let me see. I would say around 80.
About 80 workers.
Yes.
And to your knowledge, were they all instructed exactly like you were?
Yes.
To falsify
when they
the
were,
document?
Yeah, when they were preparing the ballots to be sent, the ballot package.
So the ballot package had a false date on it when it was sent out, deliberately?
I mean, what basically is that date that you put on that ballot package, that will be entered to QEF as the ballot mailing date. That's what it is.
So let's just review those numbers. Georgia, over 96,000 mail-in ballots were cast, never returned. Pennsylvania, over 766,000 mail-in ballots, cast appears out of nowhere. Arizona, over 733,000 mail-in ballots, cast vanished. And in Michigan, over 100,000 mail-in ballots, applications falsified. So, I figured we should put a little bit of the other side story in here. So Midas Touch was a liberal American political action committee formed in March of 2020 with the purpose to stop the re-election of Donald Trump in the 2020 U.S. presidential election. Mm. They're saying it right out there in the open, right?
That's their goal.
In 2023, FEC filings indicated that the PAC changed its name to Democracy Defense Action. So if you hear that, you know who that is. The Midas Touch name continues to be used by the Midas Touch Network, a liberal news site. And here they are interviewing a former Southern Poverty Law Center staffer. Let us just listen to this. Jack Prosabiak actually shared this, saying that they announced that they are coordinating with six battleground secretaries of state, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Nevada, to fight a quote, common adversary. Let's listen to this one.
In Michigan, leading the way in a lot of these efforts to ensure that democracy continues to exist, that every vote is heard and counted at the ballot, but you're not just helping Michigan. You're part of a group of secretaries of state that are really working on this around the country. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, one of the things we saw in 2020 was that particularly in battleground states, we were all battling a common adversary, a really nationally coordinated effort to undermine the will of the people, both before, during, and after Election Day. And we learned to semi-coordinate with each other in 20, you know, Katie Hobbs and I, who was Secretary of Arizona at the time, she and I are friends, so we would talk regularly. But there was really no way for us to consistently as a team, the six of us in those six battleground states, which Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia, to constantly both compare notes and also say, okay, how are we going to respond to this nationally coordinated effort with a coordinated response? And so that's, now we have that. We actually spent 2022 working to build that team in these six states. You've got strong voices now in Arizona and Nevada and Georgia and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and in Michigan. And we're all talking, we're all working together, and we're all very clear about what we're up against. Because the battle over the future of our democracy isn't going to be in the post-election process only. It starts now. And it starts with how various court battles are playing out. And you'll see all of us getting hit with the same types of sham lawsuits that are lawsuits, you know, or PR campaigns masquerading as lawsuits. So as we work together, as we talk to each other, we can develop common strategies and be much more powerful, united as a team, even across party lines, than we would be if we were just fighting these battles in our respective states by ourselves.
Really? Lawsuits. I wonder where they got the idea for lawsuits.
Disguised as PR campaigns.
Right. So, Chicago One Ray says, round of applause goes out to Fox News for getting rid of Tucker, or else he wouldn't have been able to say that they're going to rig the election because Biden can't beat Trump otherwise. So let's listen to Mr. Tucker here.
And so what this means is that underneath all of the talk is a dire political reality. Joe Biden can't win. In a fair election, Joe Biden will lose in November. He cannot win. That's the thing that nobody in any media wants to say out loud. In a fair election, Joe Biden cannot win. So they're saying the opposite. Here, for example, is the pregame analysis over at MSNBC, which we watched while waiting for Biden to dodder up to the stage, waiting for the amphetamines to take effect. And keep in mind, as you watch this analysis, these are supposedly the smart kids. These are the smart kids, the ones with complicated glasses. These are the ones the White House looks to for guidance. And here's their analysis of Joe Biden's skills. Watch this.
This seems like a weirdly, like, a counterintuitive hot take, even though it's the most obvious thing you could say, which is that Joe Biden is good at politics.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Like, Joe Biden is good at politics. He's very good at politics. Like, the man really does know what he's doing, and you really see it in those sort of situations.
Joe Biden is just really good at politics. It's the one thing he's really good at. Really? If Joe Biden is so good at politics, why is he losing to Donald Trump, who the rest of us were assured was a retarded racist who no normal person would vote for? But now Joe Biden is getting stomped by Donald Trump, but he's also at the same time good at politics? Right. Chris Hayes, ladies and gentlemen, the most famous lesbian in television. So again, they can't win, but they're not giving up. So what does that tell you? Well, they're going to steal the election. And we know they're going to steal the election because they're now saying so out loud. Here is the Attorney General of the United States, the chief law enforcement officer of this country in Selma, Alabama, just the other day. Listen to this.
The right to vote is still under attack. And that is why the Justice Department is fighting back. That is why one of the first things I did when I came into office was to double the size of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. That is why we are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements. That is why we are working to block the adoption of discriminatory redistricting plans that dilute the vote of Black voters and other voters of color.
Did you catch that? Of course, you're a racist. That's always the takeaway. But consider the details of what the Attorney General of the United States just said. Mail-in balloting, drop boxes, voter ID requirements. The chief law enforcement officer of the United States government is telling you that it's immoral, in fact, racist, in fact, illegal to ask people for their IDs when they vote to verify they are who they say they are. What is that? Well, no one ever talks about this, but the justification for it is that somehow people of color, black people, don't have state-issued IDs. Somehow they're living in a country where you can do virtually nothing without proving your identity with a government-issued ID without government-issued IDs. So they can't fly on planes, they can't have checking accounts, they can't have any interaction with the government, state, local, or federal. They can't stay in hotels. They can't have credit cards. Because someone without a state-issued ID can't do any of those things. But what's so interesting is these same people, very much including the Attorney General and the administration he serves, is working to eliminate cash, to make this a cashless society. Have you been to a stadium event recently? No cash accepted. You have to have a credit card. And in order to get a credit card, you need a state-issued ID. And somehow, that's not racist, but it is racist to ask people to prove their identity when they choose the next president of the United States.
Isn't that just an excellent point?
He always has it right on.
Yeah, excellent point. So Douglas MacArthur said, "I do not think we'll get to the 2024 election. Things are going to implode in Washington before then. Our economic financial condition is fragile, and it's going to come home to roost in ugly ways." And in response to that, Keep It Wilder says, Colonel Douglas MacGregor says, "I don't think we're going to get to a 2024 election. A lot of people are speaking out and saying they don't believe we will reach a 2024 election. We won't make it. We can't make it." But when a highly respected retired colonel like Colonel Douglas MacGregor says it, that's when we should all pay attention. So, that's what I got.
That is the question. Will we get to the election? Or will there be too many election shenanigans before we arrive at that day? We're already living in election hell. It can only go up from here.
True.
They're absolutely cheating, right, blatant in front of your face. So it's time for them to show just how tough they think they are, because they know they are not on the side of getting their... They will get
They're not going to get what they want.
They will get beat so bad. I mean, beaten. This country will revolt against these pencil necks.
That's a good way, but that's a nice way to say it.
I better quit.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, let's close out Truman's Matrix.
All right. And that's going to do it for this edition of Truman's Matrix, a podcast built around the craziest headlines around the world, a production of Digging Deeper Media, owned by Hale Multimedia. You can find Digging Deeper with Brian Hale on your favorite podcast network, or visit all of our podcasts under one roof at diggingdeeper.us. And one more thing.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Hey everyone, this is Brian Hale. If you've heard this program before, you know I have been offering website help for many years. In fact, we've been in the business for over 20, and we'd love to help you for anything website related, even if you just need some advice. It's free. Email support@halemultimedia.com or call 940-224-6315. Portfolio, pricing, and contacts all on halemultimedia.com.